so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Schaffner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your heart, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings from the moment I saw him, I fell.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I have Mindy with me again. I am so excited to do this set of shows because continuing this set of shows that I've been wanting to present to you for years, and we just haven't had a chance for Mindy to do intros on them. And I was kind of being selfish and said, I really want to be part of this. So because one, I love Judy, and two, I love Mindy's intros, and just thought, boy, these last final intros, it'd be cool to jump in here and be part of them with Mindy. And she politely said I could, so I was very happy with that. So and if you want to see what Mindy and I look like, of course this will be available on YouTube as well, and you can come to YouTube and check those out. She still has the number one, the interview I did with Mindy a few weeks ago is still my number one viewed YouTube interview, which is awesome. So
and that's
she always gives all the credit to Judy, but I think it's Judy and Mindy that deserve the credit.
I think it's 100% Judy. Yeah.
Well, I think it's at least a third of it's me. So there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's true. That I
you
was
and Judy can fight over the two thirds. Reason people right. Come.
I just showed up. Yeah.
But today, what we're going to talk about is Mindy, not Mindy. She didn't want them back there with Bing. It was Judy. But anyway, Judy went back to Bing's show for another 3 weeks in a row. And it was right before she was going to do, it's called the Koran Theater, I believe it's pronounced. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Because I think they mentioned it in the episode and they call it Koran. I was thinking it was Curan or something, but I think it's Koran.
Right.
Performed at the Koran Theater. And I really think what was going on with these episodes is that it worked so well for her before she did the Palladium. And the Palladium, I mean, that just completely re-sparked her career. Mm-hmm. But I think she was thinking, and probably her producers and everybody that was working with her and Bing, were like, well, let's do it again. And just do the same thing. We'll have another 3 episodes and take you off into you doing the performances at the Koran, and hopefully it'll take off just like it did with the Palladium. And so I think that's essentially what they were doing with these. Mindy, would you kind of agree that they were using that template from the previous year?
I think so too, because I don't really know the dynamic at that point. I don't know if this was more him wanting her or she wants to be there for him to kind of thank him. I think it might be a combination, but he kind of sparked her confidence. We talked about that before. And then she goes off and it's a huge, huge, huge success. And on both London and New York. And then I think she was just kind of popular and in the news again, and everybody was talking about it. And he thought it would be great to have her back. And one of my good friends became a, you know, huge sensation all over again, I'd be like, hey, why don't you come on my show?
Yeah.
People might want to hear you.
And it completely seemed like a win-win situation to have to back and do this. Because previously, just so people can follow, because we presented last week, we presented the Palladium performance that she did. Mm-hmm. But she'd been on Bing's show, I think that time it was for 4 weeks, if I remember right. And then went from there to being on the Palladium, and so she went to London. Then she came back to New York, did a series of concerts there that went really well, and then back to L.A. and California, at least, and did a series of performances there. And that whole thing, so that's had most of her year, probably, the previous year. And it was hugely successful everywhere she went. And so then it was time to do another leg of the tour, which would be going back to New York again and doing another piece. But she changed up the song set quite a bit and things, so she was changing things up. You can't do the same exact thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so coming on to Bing Show to advertise that, essentially, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like they do now.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
They project, yeah. And they go on their shows. And
win-win. And then today they mentioned, we thought we'd mention a little bit, they mentioned the television show The Continental. And The Continental was a show that ran just in 1952. I think it went from January to April of 1952, so a pretty short little run.
Oh.
But memorable because it was a 15-minute show, and they'd have to do these 15-minute shows every once in a while just because of the way the schedule fell out. And this one ran like, it was the last show they'd air at the night, so it was like either 11:15 or 11:45, I can't remember. And it was essentially just showing the guy, and you'd see him, and he would have this sexy voice and talk all like he loved all the women. And and the camera would be just on him, and so you wouldn't see the woman really. You'd see like her arm or her hand as he was bending down to kiss her hand or something. But then he would go with the whole, oh, you are so lovely, and I think you are just fabulous. And they would have some wine, and he'd talk about the wine and what company made the wine, or they'd have some dinner and talk about what made the dinner. So it'd be essentially a show full of advertising, and yet it would be this strange, sexy talking thing. And I told Mindy about it, and I found a clip from Saturday Night Live where they were spoofing it like in 1992. So this is like 40, 50 years later, they're spoofing it, and which I've never seen them reach back that far to do anything, but it's such a funny clip. And I'll go ahead and link it so that you guys can watch that if you wish, and so you get a chance to see it. But it is a charming performance. And who did I say the actor was that does the performing?
Christopher Walken.
That's right, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
His voice is so distinct, and he does such a beautiful job with this. I mean, who knows? He could have brought it up to them when he was hosting.
That's true. Stuff.
Said, I'd like to do this bit because I remember this show. And
Yeah,
because there's like one existing episode of the original show, I think, on YouTube. It definitely has the host of it, but it's called like something Continental, but it's mixed with something else.
I think
what they did was it's kind of a travelogue. And so they've got people jumping on trampolines and stuff, but in between they have the guy, the point of view camera on the guy, and he's talking. I mean, I think it's some sort of strange hybrid of the show, but it exists. I'll link to that one too, so you guys can see that. But
it reminds me of that series of commercials. I think it was either the late 80s or in the 90s. It was the Country Crock or whatever. It was, you never saw the people, you just saw their hands, like,
yeah,
getting each other the butter.
Yes.
And it kind of sounds like a precursor for infomercials, only they just did a bunch of them at once.
Well, and if you watch the one I'm going to put on there, the original one that's there, when he's talking, his face is like way up in the camera. It's like, hello. Oh, you look so charming. It's so delightful to see you. It's just like...
But you like a tennis ball.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But I can see why it would be so memorable, and that if Christopher Walken had watched it when he was a young person, he would probably remember that for the rest of his life.
So, and that's the thing. I mean, because when you said that, that made me think of my... I'm not sure how this even started, but there I was at my mom's house and I said, oh, Lawrence Welk's on. She's like, okay, Dad, oh my God. Like, she thought she was done watching Lawrence Welk. And I'm like, he's fantastic. Look at the bubbles. Look at the pastel. Look at these people. They sing so smoothly and it's all so campy. I love it. And then SNL actually covered
it. And they had such nice ruffles on their shirts and everything.
It was amazing. She's like, this was awful then, it's awful now. It's not. It's really not.
And then I would love it when they would sing some sort of a pop song and try and do it and totally take out everything that made the thing catchy would be gone. And it would just all that was left was just a bad song. They were actually better off doing the old songs because they would do them the way they were originally recorded and things, and it would sound better. But yeah,
right.
I still remember them doing like, "Do you know the way to San Jose?" Oh my gosh! No, that's not.
I watched a documentary on Lawrence Welk, and he actually lost his accent, but people were so used to it, he just kept using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's lots of performers who their accents got a lot better, but they decided not to make them get better. They purposely made them stay the same. So that they, you know, I think Charo, that's probably true of Charo somewhat. But anyway, that's enough on that episode.
Today, smokers all over the country are changing to Chesterfield, the first and only cigarette to name all its ingredients. Chesterfield tells you what it's made of, so you'll know what gives you the best possible smoke.
Sound off!
Sound off!
Sound off for Chesterfield!
Much milder with a better taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield's the one to buy. Millions say they satisfy.
Sound off
for Chesterfield!
Sound off
for Chesterfield!
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it
today!
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Mayors, and Bing's guest, Miss Judy Garland. Ladies and gentlemen, with spring here and all the flowers in bloom, we're happy to bring you our hardy perennial, Chesterfield's croaking crocus, Bing Crosby.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm more of a rasping ranunculus, don't you think? Oh, you're not going to burn me up with those kind of illusions, Ken, because I've got spring fever.
Really?
Even if I were a snapdragon, I'm too lazy to snap at you.
Your snap is dragon.
Yep.
Well, Bing, springtime or not, we've got to get along here to more practical things.
I think it would be wise.
I've just heard that the Sylvania Company have awarded you a gold radio tube in honor of your being one of the pioneers of radio.
Radio snap is dragging a little, too. But you're right, Ken, that's true. I did receive a gold tube, and I want to thank the Sylvania people.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did Bob Hope get a gold tube, too?
Oh, of course not. This is a high-class award, Ken. Amos and Andy got one. Burns and Allen got one.
But not Hope.
No, Hope wasn't a pioneer in the radio game. We all cooked the turkey. He came along, scooped up the gravy.
I see.
Certainly.
Oh, gee, Bing, tell me, what were the early days in radio like?
You were there. You tell me.
Somebody's got to ask the questions.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Kind of a straight man.
That's right. What shaky days those were. We never knew when we'd get bounced.
Well, didn't you have contracts like you do now?
No. They had a janitor that swept out the studio every night, and if he swept around you, you knew you were good for another day. The broom hit you, you were gone.
Gone. What sort of a salary were you making then, Bing?
I made $3 a broadcast.
Oh, man. Your salary's sure different now, isn't it?
Well, we've all had to take a cut, you know.
Bing, tell me some more about that gold tube from Sylvania.
Oh, well, it's a big thing, very big celebration for the Sylvania people, Ken, because they've recently completed their 1 billionth radio tube.
Oh, think of that. Mm-hmm. 1 billion radio tubes?
Yeah. Gee, I wonder how many of them I blew out personally. Say, Ken, I think I better get along here with the opening selection. This is a new thing called Am I in Love? It's from Mr. Hope's new picture, The Son of Paleface. Good little rhythm tune. I think you'll like it, Ken. Don't go away.
Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Well, I really wish I knew. All I know is I want to sigh when you're standing near. I get a Humpty Dumpty feeling. All I know is I want to sigh like I've never sighed before.
Never before.
Now when you're in love, they say you can tell you're sick in the heart and you never get well.
Maybe they're right. I wish that I knew why I feel the way I do. Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Am I in love?
Well, I leave it up to you.
All I know is I want to dance. When I look at you, I get a tippy-tappy feeling. All I know is I want to dance like I've never danced before. My head's in a whirl, my heart's in a spin. And if I'm in love, I gotta love what I'm in. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but the feeling feels okay.
Are you in love?
Am I in love?
Are you in love?
Am I in love?
What do you say?
Oh, well, I really couldn't say. All I know is I want to sing. When you smile at me, I get a la-di-da-di feeling. All I know is I want to sing like I've never sung before. Am I in love? Am I in love? Am I in love? Am I in love?
Well, I leave it up to you.
Now, friends, to show you why Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke, we've named all our ingredients, and we're the first and only cigarette to do so. These ingredients are what make Chesterfield's much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. And here they are for every smoker to hear and remember.
The right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities. And Chesterfields are kept tasty and fresh with tried and tested moistening agents, costly glycerol and pure sugars, which are natural to tobacco, nothing else. These have been proved entirely safe for use in the mouth. And your Chesterfield is wrapped in cigarette paper of the highest purity.
Folks, those are the proven ingredients to give you the best possible smoke, so you can see why we're glad to name them. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today. You know, every once in a while, something really great happens in show business. Something that gives all of us a fine, warm feeling of satisfaction. Nothing in my memory, however, compares to the recent remarkable acclaim that's been accorded our guest. It is all happy history, how this little gal wowed him at the London Palladium, and after that she reopened the Palace Theater in New York with her international variety show, and overnight, big-time vaudeville was back on Broadway. Following this, her appearance at the Philharmonic in Los Angeles was a sellout and a sensation. And beginning May 26th at the Curran Theater in San Francisco, the same situation is certainly going to prevail. Really, though, none of this should be a surprise to anybody, because this young lady has been big time, and on the big time since she wore pigtails. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Miss Judy Garland.
Thank you very much. Gee, thanks, Bing.
Oh, gee, you're welcome, Judy.
Well, you say the nicest things.
Why not? We're all proud of you, Judy. You're the gal who's responsible for bringing back vaudeville. That's why I asked you here tonight.
Why?
I thought you might bring back radio.
No.
No?
Radio will never die, Bing. After all, what else can people listen to while they're sitting around waiting for their television sets to be repaired?
That's our big wedge right now.
Anyway, I think it's wonderful the way you've stuck with radio.
Oh, at times it seems like a losing battle. Often the struggle is discouraging. But I must fight on.
You must feel like a man who's still campaigning for Alf Landon.
I'm a diehard.
Oh, don't worry, Bing. Things will pick up. You're bound to get a break before long.
Well, you might be right, Judy, at that. As a matter of fact, I've already been approached by a talent scout from the Spade Cooley Show.
Well... That's a very big TV show out here, isn't it?
Oh, it's big, very big, very fine. But I really think I should do my own show. I've thought of doing a late evening program, maybe, Judy. You know, something just for the ladies, sort of a West Coast Continental.
You a Continental?
Mm-hmm.
With your shirt tail out?
Sooner or later, the shirt tail comes out.
You are a true Continental.
Oh, wee. But of course, Judy, on my program, I'd have to use different billing. I can't use the same name as him. I'm trying to think of some other name besides the Continental. Some name that would really describe me, though.
Uh-huh. Well, what about calling yourself the Cornball?
Can't do it. Hope's got that copyrighted.
That's even better for Bob.
Well, I won't argue about that. I can't use cornball then, huh?
Say, how about calling yourself the Square?
Oh, that's good. That's peachy. The Square, yes. Good evening, ladies. Do not be afraid. It's only me, the Square. Here, will you have a glass of Salopatica?
Salopatica?
I'm trying to get them for a sponsor. Don't say no. It bubbles too, you know.
Now, Bing, I think you should offer the girls a glass of champagne like the Continental does.
I may just throw bunches of grapes at them.
Let them kick off their shoes and stomp out their own wine, huh?
Yeah, you know, sort of an audience participation show.
Yeah, well, it sounds like fun. It's squishy, but fun.
You don't think it's too squishy? But maybe I should give the whole thing up. I'm just not a glamour fella, you know?
Well, Bing, I don't know. If you'd put on a dinner jacket, a tie, and dab a little Maybelline on your eyelids, you might be a very suave character.
Well, could be. After all, I'm loaded with charm, graciousness, sophistication, savoir-faire.
You sound like a Chesterfield.
What do you mean?
You name all your ingredients.
The mask is off.
You better put it back on.
Now, anyhow, I wanted to tell you, though, Judy, how much I enjoyed you and your international variety show. Boy, what a thrill. I loved your entrance, Judy.
You did?
Yeah, I got a big kick out of the way those eight fellas danced around, then lifted you up and brought you out on the stage.
Oh, you know something, Bing?
What?
When I first opened my show in London, it took eight fellas to lift me.
Go on. You look terrific.
Oh, I've lost a little weight. I've dieted.
Been chomping on the rye crisp, huh?
Well, besides that, I went on a diet of carrot juice. Yeah? 2 weeks, nothing but carrot juice. Believe me, the doctor was amazed when I went back to see him.
What'd he say?
Where'd you get those crazy pink eyes?
Crazy. Anyhow, Judy, what song are you going to do for us now?
Well, I thought I'd do Mean to Me.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Mean to Me.
All right.
Must you be mean to me? Gee, honey, it seems to me you like to see me crying. I don't know why I stay home each night when you say you'll phone. And I'm left alone, singing the blues and sighing. You treat me coldly each day in the year. You always scold me whenever somebody is near. Dear, it must be great fun to be mean to me. You shouldn't, for can't you see what you mean to me? You treat me coldly what you mean to me.
Thank you. Wonderful, Judy. Really terrific.
Well, thanks, pal.
Say, how about you and I doing a little duet, huh? Something.
Fine.
You know, last week I saw a lot of stuff in the papers about the annual Tulip Festival in Holland, Michigan. Very colorful event.
Oh, yes, I remember. Everybody in their Dutch costumes, wooden shoes.
Yeah. And... Well, anyhow, the Tulip Festival recalled a great old tune to me. A song called When You Wore a Tulip.
And I wore a big red rose.
That's the number.
Shall we do the special material verse?
Oh, the full treatment, everything.
All right.
You start up, Judy?
Sure.
Mr. Crosby, if I may remind you to remember the day of horseless carriages and divorceless marriages.
Dear Miss Garland, I presume that in your memory there's enough room to reach infinity or that vicinity.
My heart booms like it had a shot of adrenaline.
My heart booms at the thought of old lace and crinoline.
So hold your hats, for here we go to the dear dead days when a gal's best beau had his heart in it. As he went to the spinet and sang to her this charming serenade. When you wore a tulip, a sweet yellow tulip, and I wore a big red rose. When you caressed me, 'twas then heaven blessed me. What a blessing, no one knows. You made life cheery when you called me dearie. 'Twas down where the bluegrass grows. Your lips were sweeter than julep when you wore a tulip and I wore a big red rose. When you wore a tulip, yes, you wore a yellow tulip, and I wore a rose. When you caressed me, 'twas then heaven blessed me. What a bless, what a bless, what a bless. No one, no. You made life cheery when you called me dearie. 'Twas down where the bluegrass grows. Your lips were sweeter than julep when you wore a tulip. And I wore a big red rose.
Thank you, Judy. Now, if you'd like to kick off your wooden shoes and relax a minute, I'll carry on with another fine old tune entitled After You've Gone. This is being done with a small combination featuring Mr. Buddy Cole at the piano.
Oh, then I'll kick off my shoes quietly.
Well, you can drop one on my high note if you want. You ready, Buddy?
After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the dearest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart'll break like mine, and you'll want me only after you've gone, after you've gone away. After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying. You'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the dearest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart'll break like mine. You'll want me only after you've gone away, so far away. After you've gone away.
Buddy, that was very nice.
That was very good, boys.
Thanks, pal. Judy, what about you taking over here?
Okay, Bing.
And your selection?
When You're Smiling.
That's a pretty one.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing. Be happy again. Keep on smiling. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles at you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, so stop that sighing. Be happy. Don't forget to keep on smiling. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles at you.
Right now, Bing and I want to remind you and all the other folks just why Chesterfields are so much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste.
Well, it's because of what we put into Chesterfields, Judy. Chesterfield is the only cigarette that names all its ingredients, so you'll know what gives you the best possible smoke.
I know it, Bing.
Chesterfield uses the world's best tobaccos, pure, costly moistening agents, cigarette paper of the highest purity.
Well, Ken, as a matter of fact,
Chesterfields are made of, Judy, the proven ingredients that give you the best possible smoke.
Bing, I'm trying to tell you.
And that's backed up by research.
Research in our Chesterfield laboratories, the newest and best in the business. And Chesterfields are made in the newest and most modern cigarette factories.
Fellas, will you please...
That's what goes into Chesterfields, Judy. The best ingredients backed up by the best research and best manufacture. That's why we want everyone to try a pack of Chesterfields today.
Bing, I've been trying to tell you. You don't have to sell me on Chesterfields. I've been smoking them for years.
Well, why didn't you speak up, girl? Why didn't you sound off?
All right, I will.
Good.
From
from the Palace on Broadway to the Philharmonic in L.A. They're smoking the one that I smoke too. Chesterfield's a smoke for you.
Sandor,
oh, Chesterfield.
Sandor,
oh, Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it.
Today!
In clover, the night I looked at you, I found a dream that I can speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that I've never known. You smiled and then the spell was cast, and here we are in heaven, for you are mine at last.
Miss Judy Garland for joining us here this evening.
Well, it was very nice, Bing. Who's going to be with you next week?
Judy, I got a little idea here. How about you coming back next week?
Oh, that's okay with me, if it's okay with the Morris office.
Oh, we'll get to them all right.
That's well. I'll see you next week, then.
Righto, Judy. That about winds it up then, folks, for tonight. We'll see you next week. And remember, Chesterfield names all its ingredients, so you'll know what makes Chesterfield much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and, most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. The authority for that is a well-known research organization, so sound off for Chesterfield, friends. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Judy Garland. Miss Garland and her International Variety Show open at the Curran Theater in San Francisco on Monday, May 26th. Folks, sometime during the next 2 weeks, you'll be asked to buy a poppy in memory of those who fought to keep freedom alive. Give generously when you're asked, and wear your poppy proudly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the enchanting operetta, The Great Waltz, starring Gordon McRae and his lovely guest, Lucille Norman. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight, another memorable musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marlon Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight I am Johann Strauss the Younger, and Lucille Norman is the lovely Therese, as we bring you The Great Waltz. Would you tell Fraulein Therese, please, that Herr Strauss is here?
Are you Herr Strauss? Oh, I just love your music.
I'm afraid you're thinking of my father. You see, there are two of us.
Do you compose, too?
Well, sometimes. A little.
Shawnee, you're early.
Crazy. I've got news. Great news.
Herr Strauss has just been telling us that he is a composer.
A very good composer.
Oh, it must be awfully difficult to find new melodies out of your head.
Oh, music doesn't come from the head, from the heart. It's always there waiting for something to let it out. Well, a morning like this, for instance, or a look in a woman's eyes. And a tune is born.
Dark girls or fair, you are my songs, leading me where belongs. Dark as the night, fair as the morn, whene'er I see you, music is born.
I heard something, melodies from start, tunes from dancing, beating in my heart. You come to me, everywhere displayed. I plan you waltzers.
Dark girls and fair,
you're a part of
your song,
leading
you where
your music belongs.
Dark as the night,
or as fair as the morn, whene'er I see you, music is born.
When you look at me, you set my heart aflutter. There's a melody in every word you utter. Every smile is like a song you sing to me. Life is music that you bring to me. So,
this heart, we are each and all of us. Bright eyes can sing, melodies can start. Just come dancing, dancing in your heart. You can.
Johnny, what's the news? You're bursting with it.
Tracy, Steinbrück has engaged me to conduct.
Johnny!
At the new Peterhof Gardens. You know what this is going to buy us, Tracy? A marriage license.
Oh, Johnny, darling, I shall tell everyone in the audience, please like his music. It's so full of love.
Anybody who's ever been in love will know, Tracy.
you ascend as my guide, and the fates I'll decide with you by my side. Though my goal may be far, I can reach it while I see the light of that star in the sky.
It's difficult at first to find the things you sought for, things you give your time and thought for. Your happiness is just the kind that must be fought for, but you will find it in the end.
The dreams I dreamed but dare not say, that seemed so far away, at last have come a little nearer. At last the skies are growing clearer.
For a day the past, your day will come at long.
There's a star in the sky that was set as your guide, and the fates you defy while I'm at your side. Though your goal may be far, you can win if you try by the light of that star in the sky.
Shawnee, promise me you won't tell your father about conducting.
Why, Racy?
I think he's the reason you've never been hired in Vienna. Your father is jealous of your talent. The Waltz King doesn't like any pretenders to his throne.
You're mistaken, Racy. I'm going to tell Father.
Then I'm going to do something. There's a very influential person I'm going to see to help protect you from your father.
Music, Gracie. Keep playing.
I knew you'd like it, Countess.
Oh, it's a waltz that forces you to dance. Does this one have words?
Oh, yes, Countess. It's called Only 1 Hour. Listen.
I can tell from the way you sing that you're in love with the composer.
Oh, I am, Countess, very much.
Then I shall attend to the father. You and I, we shall concoct a little scheme, Racy. Now, when does young Mr. Strauss give you next music lesson?
Tomorrow.
I shall be there. Play and sing some of this wonderful music. Perhaps an extra pair of ears will be listening.
My dear Countess, where are we going?
Oh, to a bakery shop, Herr Strauss, containing very rare delicacies. Mm-hmm. A daughter who sings like a dream, the daughter suitor who composes magnificent songs.
Well, I'm always anxious to help young composers.
It's the more established composers I am interested in, Herr Strauss, such as yourself. You have played every capital of Europe but mine.
It has always been one of my ambitions to play at the court of your country, Countess.
I think I can arrange that with my ambassador. My countrymen will be enchanted by the music of the Waltz King.
It's curious how a title spoken in jest many years ago clings.
It is richly deserved.
At any rate, I have never had to defend the title. Who's that playing?
That, my dear Herr Strauss, is my surprise. He is a young man who may one day be your rival. You may yet have to fight for the title of Waltz King.
Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. I should like very much to meet him.
Right through this door, Herr Strauss?
Mm-hmm. Charlie!
Father, your ladyship.
Herr Strauss.
Hello, Racy. What was that you were playing, Shawnee?
Oh, I was just improvising, Father.
Don't be so modest, Shawnee. It's a new waltz composed by your son, Herr Strauss.
It has a lovely quality, don't you think?
You have a kind heart, madame. But let me see that music. What? Why, this is just a jump move against every established rule and form.
I thank you, Countess, for speaking in my behalf. But this is an old argument between my father and me. I maintain you must write the music you feel. But my father is traditionalist, who feels one must write according to all the established rules.
But this beautiful melody...
Madame, about a great many things I know nothing. About one thing I know a great deal. That thing is music. I was writing successful waltzes before this boy was born.
Nevertheless, my dear young man... I shall be there on your opening night to applaud you.
What opening night?
I haven't had a chance to tell you, Father. But Steinbrück has offered me a chance to conduct at the Peterhof Gardens.
You're not sufficiently equipped to conduct. I may tear you apart. I forbid you.
Father, I'm going to conduct.
Are you going to force me to go to Steinbrück and tell him you're incompetent to conduct?
Father.
Herr Strauss, you wouldn't do that.
If my opinion means so little to my son that I must regard him as just another musician, and since he bears my name, I will not have him make a fool of himself on the platform. It is my duty to tell them that what I believe.
Listen. Listen to this music. Shawnee, play it. This is music that will live when every stuffy thing you've ever written is dead and forgotten, Herr Strauss. Listen. Listen to some great music by the great Johann Strauss.
Return for the second act of The Great Waltz in just a moment. Hear that? That's about the way the first railroad locomotive must have sounded when it made its first run back around 1830. And from the very first run of that pint-sized engine, the railroads learned a lesson they have never forgotten. For light as it was, that first locomotive in America was too heavy for the track over which it ran. And from that day to this, it has been a basic rule in railroading that the locomotives and cars which are run over any particular stretch of track or any bridge shall not be heavier than can be carried without damage and deterioration, which would mean heavier expense in maintenance and repair. What was learned so long ago about railroads is now being learned about highways. There's an inescapable relationship between the strength of a highway or a bridge and the weight of the vehicles which it can support. This fact was scientifically demonstrated in a test conducted for 11 Eastern State Highway Departments on a rigid paved road in Maryland, a road typical of many thousands of miles of America's highways. The report on the results of that test, issued last week, shows that all other things being substantially equal, the heavier the load, the greater the damage. With an increase of 1/4 in the loads on single axles, there was more than 6 times as much cracking of the pavement. With an increase of 40% in the loads on tandem or dual axles, there was more than 12 times as much cracking. Yes, highway engineers have learned by experience, by observation, and by scientific test that failure to protect highways and bridges from abuse and overloading means heavy damage and added costs. Costs which must be borne by the general taxpayers and by all motorists who use the highways. Fortunately, the steel highways of the railroads are built to take heavy loads, and their maintenance and repair doesn't cost you or any other taxpayer a single penny. And now here is Act Two of the Lawrence and Lee version of The Great Waltz, starring Gordon MacRae as Johann Strauss the Younger and Lucille Norman as Racy, with John McIntyre and Jeanette Nolan as our featured players.
On Love Alone, we live today. On Love Alone, we live today. Romance is everywhere, for spring is in the air.
Oh, Racy, I don't want to go in.
I know how you feel, Shawnee. It was terrible of your father to convince Steinbrück not to hire you. And why is he playing in your place?
I don't want to go into the Peterhof Gardens at all.
But the Countess said she planned a surprise.
Well, whatever it is, I shall have little heart for it.
Oh, come on in. Watching everybody dance and sing will cheer us up.
Young friend.
Good evening, Countess.
Shawnee, the orchestra rehearsed your new waltz this afternoon. It sounded beautiful.
Did it? It felt good when I was writing it. Especially when... Oh, what's the use? Nobody will ever hear it.
Don't be too sure. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some important work to do. Don't go away.
Oh, Racy, if someday I should stand on a podium and conduct an orchestra which is playing my music, every downbeat will say your name. And everybody listening will know that, well, that your name is written on every note.
With all my heart I long for you. I wake to make a song for you. Each word like a bird flying home to you alone. With all I live to give it all to you. Each sigh is the cry of a heart that calls to your own. Like summer flowers that fade and die, the golden hours go fleeting by. Each sigh is the cry of a heart that calls.
They're all calling for your father. Where is he?
I don't know, Racy.
Has anybody seen Herr Strauss? Countess.
Yes, Herr Steinbrück?
Herr Strauss was last seen entering your carriage.
Well, all I know is the ambassador from my country suddenly wished to extend an invitation to the Waltz King. I was good enough to lend him my carriage.
Is it a very slow carriage, Countess?
My coachman will take hours through the back streets of the city. Meanwhile, Vienna will get a chance to hear some wonderful new music.
Countess.
What shall I do?
They want Strauss, Herr Steinbrück. Give them Strauss. This young man is ready to conduct the waltz.
A brilliant idea, brilliant. Is it all right, Charlie?
Oh, yes, yes, Herr Steinbrück.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The Waltz King has been unavoidably delayed, so we have asked his son, Johann Strauss the Younger, to conduct. I entrust him to your kindness.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to play a new waltz of my own. It is called The Blue Danube.
Countess, this is really the great waltz.
Yes, Tracy, yes.
That was weeks ago, Father.
The son eclipses the father. Young upstart.
Father, the doctor said you must not talk.
Oh, Shani, my heart has been so filled with the music of Vienna that there's been no room for affection. Leave room in your heart for more than music, for people, for Racy. For sons.
I'll remember, Father.
You're a good musician, in spite of me. The Blue Danube. A fine melody. Should be an E-flat instead of D, more brilliant register.
Father, relax. Lie back.
152 waltzes, 24 galops, 6 cotillions, 32 quadrilles, 13 polkas, 18 marches. The sum total of my life. And, oh yes, a son who wrote the Blue Danube. A son who wrote.
Father?
It seems strange that you weep, Shawnee. He was hardly a father to you.
I'm not weeping only because my father is dead, Racine, but because Vienna has lost her greatest musician.
Lucille Norman will be back in just a moment. Meanwhile, our thanks to Jeanette Nolan, who was the Countess, John McIntyre, who was Johann Strauss the Elder, to Isabel Jewell, Herb Butterfield, and to our entire company. The Great Waltz, with book and lyrics by Moss Hart and Desmond Carter, and music by Johann Strauss, was dramatized for The Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at the same time by the American Railroads. Marvin?
Chances are the rich resources of most of the 48 states, the products of forest and farm, mine, mill, and factory in every part of the country, were needed to help fashion the comforts of your home. And to tie together all those far-flung ingredients to help change, say, a giant tree into a gracious table, takes a lot of railroad transportation. And because that's true of most everything you use, it's no wonder that railroads move more tons of freight, more miles, than all other forms of transportation put together.
Thank you, Marvin. And now here again is lovely Lucille Norman.
Thank you, Gordon. It was wonderful singing the Great Waltz with you. And what are you planning for the show train next week?
Well, we have an enchanting musical, Lucille, which has delighted theater goers for a long, long time. Sigmund Romberg's tuneful, My Maryland. And Dorothy Kirsten will be Barbara Fritchie.
Wouldn't miss it. Good night, Gordon.
Good night, Lucille. You were wonderful.
All aboard.
Well, sir, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night, and my Maryland, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye.
The Great Waltz was presented by special arrangement with Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae can currently be seen starring in Warner Brothers' About Face. Lucille Norman can soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production Carson City. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.